Steel Traps podcast right here, talking about the multiverse with my friend Shane.
Yes.
Yes. Joe Bethlen.
Yo, man. And I don't know where the mic is on my laptop, so I'm just shouting at the whole screen like a madman.
Okay, perfect.
That's how we're doing it. How's it going, brother? Good to be back on.
All right, awesome, man. And as always, welcome back, Michael Averbach. Michael, are you there?
Yes, I am. Pleasure being here.
Okay, fantastic. All right, so as you guys may know, and our listeners know, Joe Vallon, comic book guy. Joe, would you say you're more DC or Marvel?
I'm more independent, but I probably lean on the DC side of things. I like smaller stories. I don't like teamwork. I don't like an abundance of color in my comics. I like the drab. The DC has more like your drab stories. They get the Bat Family and some darker stuff that I like. I would go DC, but if you're talking film, Marvel by fucking DC should just quit, you know, like as far as film. So, yeah.
The movies, the comic book movies are getting a little out of control. They were talking about making a crossover of DC and Marvel, which absolutely wouldn't work because that would be like McDonald's selling Frosties, and nobody wants that. Michael.
You know, yeah.
Yes.
Thoughts?
Oh, well, McDonald's is not ideal. McDonald's is if that's the only restaurant that's open for miles and miles to go, and to either starve eating McDonald's, then I'll eat at McDonald's. If not, then I'll pass by the McDonald's and eat somewhere else.
Okay. Thank you for answering, a question that wasn't asked, Michael. Love that.
Oh, I got
what
it.
What do you think?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I will go with Marvel. I think they're, you know, DC kind of came like the old rusted Al Pinto, you know, and they got left behind. And now they're trying to, like, make a comeback with Aquaman, you know, and make it all like full of special effects. But it just seemed like DC, they kind of quit, you know, and then Stan Lee like pushed Marvel, you know, to the top because he's in every movie, if you notice, of the Marvel. So, I go with Marvel.
Well, you can make that argument for Jack Kirby too. You know, I mean, he was the driving force there for many years. And, you know, you're also talking like just the films, like what about the comics? Is Marvel, do you lean towards Marvel with just the comics?
Yes.
Interesting. Yep.
I have a whole bunch of them. I have like Contest of Champions from back in the 80s when I was little. They were like 50 cents a bit, 50 cents a piece.
Yep. Cool.
But I have a whole bunch. The X-Men, you know, and then they had like 72 different titles for the X-Men. You know, you never knew what the hell was going on. So
that became a problem for Marvel, like when they kept doing like faction off stories and like all the
right.
New people didn't know where to begin. There was so much shit to catch up on. So,
right.
Yeah. Anyway.
To clarify, I'm not knowledgeable how it is with Joe and Shane about DC and Marvel comics. So sorry for missing the answering the question. I'm not knowledgeable in DC and Marvel comics. So I'm not able to give you an adequate answer, Adam.
Oh, it's a big world out there. You're in for a treat. You've saved something awesome for yourself.
Well, okay, guys, let's talk about the idea of a multiverse and a parallel universe. One of my favorite shows, it was a sci-fi show that they canceled, was called Sliders. Jerry O'Connell, that's it.
Yes, that's it.
So he would slide into parallel universes where sometimes, you know, for an example, one of them was red light meant go, you know, in traffic instead of green light and things like that. And I think that was a pilot episode. But anyway, so my point is, like, what if that parallel universe idea happened today? And say, for instance, Michael Averbach, say you didn't join the Army, what would it be happening in that parallel universe?
It would be very drastic and terrible. I would be a nobody. I'd be financially poor, working 2 to 10 jobs, and have no purpose in life. And I would fear tomorrow than the present day. The next day would suck more than the current day. Join the Army, save my future, and maybe save a good deal of money. I was able to afford things I never would have had. and it opened many a doors for me professionally.
Okay, Joe, what are your thoughts on the multiverse?
Well, there's a lot of material out on it. I actually kind of tackle it a lot. There's a metaphysical belief that anything that can happen does happen. And the kind of one of the backbones of quantum physics is by figuring out every place an object can't be. There's something to that effect. It's like about like ruling out infinite possibility. And if you do that, if you think about it in those terms, the multiverse is supposedly an infinite number of universes. You know, and like they say, if you gave a monkey a typewriter and one of the universes out there in the multiverse, the one monkey would type the collected works of Shakespeare without a grammatical error. And, you know, so that's how vast it's supposed to be if they're talking about an infinite number of universes, which means anything that can happen has, like a very Rick and Morty concept.
Right, and that's probably the most pop culture, popular thing that's happening right now with the idea of the multiverse of the Rick and Morty cartoon show. Shane, what are your thoughts on the multiverse? What's going on with you?
You know, I don't know that I would be any different. I mean, I joined the Marine Corps back in right out of high school because I had nothing else. You know, did it change me for the better? Maybe, I don't know. It's, you know, I went in the infantry, so I got to walk up and down a bunch of hills and all that fun stuff, you know. And watch the early days of the extremists, you know, before they came. I don't know, maybe they were Al-Qaeda then or not, but you know, they were like shooting each other up in Morocco at the time. But I don't know. I'm sure there would be small differences. Maybe I'd have still be married to my first wife. Who knows? But it's hard to think. You know, it's hard to even begin to think of that.
Well, one theory of it is, of the multiverse is if you stand still, you'll meet yourself in that idea of the multiverse, which is a little bit out there. And I picture the multiverse, Shane, as a singer for a dark metal punk band. That's what I picture.
Me?
Eating raw meat on stage. Yes, eating raw meat on stage. Doing Gigi Allen type stuff. Taking shits in his hand. That's what I picture. I don't know.
Well, it's nice to see my answer be the odd man out in that round of answering for the multiverse. But I always thought it just meant like an infinite number of universes, ergo an infinite number of possibilities. And I thought that was like it's not like if you didn't do this, what would you have done? I mean, you've done it according to the multiverse. You know, it's like it's an infinite number of possibilities. So it's like you've been an infinite number of things, supposedly. And I don't know if I subscribe to that, but I like to think of that. And that's why creators feel that their creations actually exist in some multiverse dimension. So a lot of guys that write like horror and stuff like that, they go insane or they get kind of sad or they get beaten down over time because they feel like they've actually done a lot of damage. If you can kind of wrap your head around that. So,
yeah.
Does the multiverse mean that you're actually in everyone or there's just different realities?
I think it's all of the above, to my understanding.
Okay.
It's like different versions of things, but there's no matter. Other places where you exist in each one, because you have to experience each one for it to exist. One of the theories of quantum physics is that if you don't believe the object exists, then it doesn't, I guess. I might be screwing that up, but, you know, that's like a deeper context. But
well, the other thing, like you said, is everything has already happened. A lot of people believe that that's what deja vu is, and that's where it comes
yes,
from.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, Michael Averbach, did you ever have deja vu?
All the time. Yes, all the time. Where, let's say you go to sleep and you wake up, you dream something will happen 3 days from now, and it happens the way you dreamt. And that's spooky.
How do you explain that?
That's my deja vu, where you dream something is going to happen, whether it's going to be good or bad, 3 days for that moment to happen in your life, and then it actually happens for the good or bad that you dreamt. And then when you wake up that day, is this going to happen or is this pretend? And then it really does happen the way it happened in your dream. To me, that's my deja vu.
But what I wanted to talk about deja vu, okay, so that tied in with the multiverse. A lot of people were saying in relation to the deja vu and the multiverse, that the Large Hadron Collider has caused a rift and change in our current timeline that's making everything crazy. And a lot of people are pointing fingers to the most recent Catholic Church thing with all the priests. What do you think?
I really don't know. If a tear in the multiverse, you said, caused the Catholic priest to rape kids? That's kind of a stretch there, I think.
They don't let them get married.
They don't let them get married. So they're kind of like, you think about it, I'm not saying normal, but, most guys, they find women and, you get married.
Right.
But you can notice people that like, they really don't date, and they're really awkward around women. And it's just like when they cut them off completely from women, say, you could be, it doesn't work. Then they kind of like lose their minds, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be wrong, but I just don't think, I think you need to have a woman in your life, whether it's a wife or a girlfriend or just an acquaintance, but you can't just run around and be nothing. It's just,
Left alone with kids, and like kids are, our most precious thing, right? Well, we hire security for everything else in life. We hire security to watch your fucking jewelry store, like you name it, all this frivolous shit. But then we leave our kids alone with dudes. And it's like, hire a guard at church. Like, just have it. They make enough money. They're tax exempt. I think that actually just got changed, maybe. Or there's legislation heading towards that. But they don't pay taxes. So they can hire a security guard to freaking hang out with the priest and these kids. And it's like, I don't give a shit if he had a woman in his life. He has no option now. You're not going to touch these kids. That's it. And it's just, I mean, so many of them have done it that I really think that it's just a lack of beating the shit out of these dudes. It's just like, they just need more beatings, I believe, because I don't think they would dare pull this shit off because it's in record numbers. That Pittsburgh thing is disgusting, dude. It's like thousands of kids, thousands.
Thousands.
Right.
And it's been happening for 70 years, they said.
Right. And all it would have taken is one dude hanging out to catch that motherfucker and give him the beating of a lifetime. And guess what? There's like 600 less. like that'll just stop a whole cycle. And I know it's not popular, and I guess this is illegal. That's assault, I guess. I really don't give a fuck. I think if you find out a priest is touching a kid, he should get the whooping of a lifetime and right away, too. And I think this has just gone on because they're just left unchecked. They're alone with the kids. You never check in on them. The parents just dump them off at Sunday school. All this shit's when does this happen? When are kids alone with priests? And it's like, that's when you need a guard, right then, when they're alone. Like, that's, you just hire a part-timer. Ex-military, hire a veteran. There you go.
I've never been Catholic. I don't understand it. I understand that there's confessional booths and things like that.
Right,
that's
right.
Pretty much a champagne room for strippers. So I don't know what that is, but they go in these little booths. I think there should be, it should be a three-seater with a security guard in there on the other side.
Something.
Maybe
or a camera. A camera. What about cameras? Have cameras.
What about,
check the feed.
I just, you're talking about giving a beating of a lifetime. I think you go one step further. If you get convicted of doing that to kids, then you go to the death penalty. That's it.
Well, listen, I was trying to be friendly because we're on the air here,
right.
But like, I'm with you.
Yeah, but that, when people do that,
you want to go that far? Sure.
When you do stuff like that, there's nothing friendly anymore. You lost that privilege. You get whatever. You could give them to the family and let them beat them to death. Because if somebody did to my son that would be you get beat to death.
Well, listen to this. So we're all logic. We're considered like logical people. All of us, I can tell all of us guys are logical men. That being said, I don't care if I'm right on this.
Right.
You can't talk me out of it. You can't just be like, he was sick. This is his disease. And it's like, my sickness is violence. I'm too violent, I guess. That's my disease. There you go. So it's just like,
Right. One more thing about this, though. You have never heard ever about a rabbi doing this. Ever. Like, I disagree because this would never happen in any type of rabbinical situation, but only in the Catholic Church. Your thoughts?
Right. I believe I did mention that. I'm not Catholic. I don't, the other religions, I'm not aware of this problem happening in any other religion than just the Catholic religion. And perhaps maybe the other clergy and the other religions care more for their children than the Catholic religion, is what I was saying. And the other religions know the right from wrong, and the Catholic religion may think, okay, no one will catch me. Well, yes, you were caught.
So now they're caught, Michael. Now what needs to happen to them, in your opinion?
Well, I do agree with what Shane and Joe had said. The death penalty is a must. And so that person will never get out of jail and allow this and do the same thing to happen again. This will send a message to the next priest. If you do this, then this will happen to you. Then you shamed the entire religion. And then you let down the community of that church. And so then you let down God also.
And one other thing about this whole thing, guys, real quick, is there were movies about this. There were movies about this, like almost like pre-programming, you know, that this was happening. Hollywood made films about it for years, but nobody ever batted an eye. And now here it is, headline news. It's like, where do you go from here, you know? And it really makes the millennials, in my opinion, more millennial than they ever were before. Because now, not only do they not want to work, now they don't want to go to church.
When did the child speak up? Was it the next day it happened? Or was it 5 years after it happened? Or more? Did they wait 5 years to say, Mom, Dad, the priest is doing this to me? Or do they wait to the next day and say, this happened to me? That is what I want to know.
Well, I think it was all individual cases, and I think they were all different. But now, if you want to talk about, you know, when did the child speak up, we can talk about, you know, the female teachers, teachers molesting the students that are, you know, maybe the teacher's 27 or, you know, in her 20s or something like that. Now she's having sex with a male student, and now she's going to jail because he said something to, I guess, his buddies or his parents, or maybe another staff member caught them. Now, is that different?
I don't believe it is, though. I mean, you know, everybody thinks, yeah, they are nice-looking girls and everything. And the guys are like, yeah, you know, my time. But it's the same thing.
Joe, what do you think?
I don't know, man. This conversation took a dark turn. you guys are bringing up some shit, man. You know, you get me worked up about the priest. I know it was in the news and you're out of Pittsburgh, so it's topical for you. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. I just think we're overthinking it. You know, it's just like, line them up and make an example and get out of there. Other than that, I mean, I don't care how long the kid took to tell. I mean, no offense to you, I just don't give a shit. You know, it's like it happened. That's all I need to know. So
right.
You know, other than
right.
that, I mean, other than that, like, I mean, you know, and who knows if it's widespread across religions? I don't give a shit about that either. I control what's in my own what we call cipher. Where I control what's around me. I don't get into politics above my head. I don't get into overreaching lawmaking or policy. I don't debate it either. I really just don't give it any thought. I just control what I see with my eyes. When I'm out and about and I'm walking about, if I see something fucked up, I make a judgment and I handle it. And I just think that, you know, that's one of the glories of being a good person and an atheist, is that I have no reason to be good. I just choose to be. And it's like, you know, I think that's when you meet an atheist, that's like a good moral person. That's a rare breed. And I think those are good people. And I try to be that. That being said, what's legal, what's not legal, we'll worry about that after. You know, it's just kind of like you see something fucked up, you handle it. And if you're not seeing certain things, you're not paying attention to your herd, your people. You got to watch your friends. You got to watch your kids. You got to check in on them. You don't leave them alone with people. it's just how we grew up. And I think it's like common sense, but now people are getting it. And it's like, protect your herd and keep your herd close. And then catch that's, these bastards. Then you make an example and then you deal with the law. You know,
that's right. That's absolutely right. And that was a good point, is that's how we were brought up. If something looked weird, if it walked like a duck and it quacked like a duck, your parents took you out of that situation.
That's my thought.
Michael, do you agree?
I agree with what Joe had said and Shane had said also. You got to be aware of your surroundings.
I mean, pretty much what Joe was saying about, you know, just being around, you know, where, I mean, I'm not an atheist, but, you know, you don't have like 100% trust in anybody. I don't trust anybody that far, regardless of who they are. So I would never let my son, you know, hey, I'm going to stay with the Catholic priest. No, you're not. I don't care who it is. My son stays exactly. with me unless, you know, we really know somebody. And then if something would happen, you know, as we were saying before, then, you know, it would happen one time.
And even Michael Jackson.
If I went to jail over something like that, then that would be the end of it. Oh, well.
And even Michael Jackson was accused of that. And though he was not a priest.
Well, he did it twice.
Yeah.
He was accused of that. Never found guilty in court. My opinion, right. Michael Jackson was guilty by far. Though he's never proven guilty in court.
He was rich, though. You know, he paid everybody off to shut up.
Rich is the cure for all things. I mean, Magic Johnson looks okay, so you know, like, just I guess Rich will make a lot of things go away. But either way, I mean, it's above my pay grade, is my point. I don't know if Michael Jackson touched the kids. I wasn't there. If I saw him do something like that, you know, he'd be teehee-ing. But at the same time, you know, let's just keep an eye on what's around us, guys. I think it's that simple. I think we all agree on how to handle it and what's to be done. I don't even think we need to spell it out too much more. You know?
Yeah, yes, I agree. Let's do one final topic, and this is a hot debate on the internet right now. It's a huge one. People are saying, and they're divided, it's a country divided on the topic. Is addiction a disease, or is it a choice? A lot of people are saying that it's a disease. What do you guys think?
A choice.
A choice.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, it's a choice. I mean, if I wanted to, I could, like, just blow my job off and go drink beer, like, every day and say, screw it. But, you know, I choose not to do that. I didn't go, man, I'm dying for a beer. I better go get some pills or, I don't know. I don't believe that it's an addiction or whatever. Just whatever you want to do.
A disease. They say it's a disease.
Yes, a disease.
On social media, people are going crazy left and right. I made a post. I said, is addiction a choice or a disease? And I'll tell you what, this thing caught fire. And a lot of people were saying it's a disease, just as alcoholism is a disease, because it's in your family, because it's in your DNA, and you're just addicted.
I mean, my dad was a severe alcoholic. And, you know, I like beer sometimes, but I'm not like right now. I'm not like licking the ground for some rubbing alcohol or something, you know.
A flask of Listerine in a paper bag.
You know what? The funny thing is, my dad did. He would drink Listerine if he didn't have any beer. Yeah. That's 25% alcohol. You get
there, you go.
On that. You drink a whole bottle of that, baby, you have some fresh breath and you won't be able to stand up.
And I also believe that your insides would dissolve too, but that's beside the fact. Mike Laverbach, your thoughts?
I'm here. That is a choice. And I will never believe that it is a disease. You can choose to stop. You just got to tell yourself to stop and maintain that quality of life. Wake up, I'm going to stop and maybe be a better person. And do that. There's Alcohol Anonymous, whatever it is, double A.
You need to go there, Michael. Jesus, you all right?
No, I can't pronounce the word. Alcoholics Anonymous. There you go. Alcoholics Anonymous. Took me 5 tries. So
the 128, they would put you in the Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yeah, that's the only time I felt like drinking a beer was at duty. When I got home out of duty, I didn't want a beer.
Oh, man, I did. I wanted to drink one when I punched Captain Hiles in the face.
Easy. He might be listening.
It's a choice.
I'm sorry.
It's not a disease. The disease to me is, you know, you got a non-curable. It's going to cause you to die, cancer, or or some type of some other leukemia or whatever else. That's the disease to me. You choosing to do drugs or alcohol, that's not a disease. You chose to do it, though you could have stopped. You could have got help to stop. You still continue to do it. Sucks to be you. Your problem, not mine.
Well, let me turn it back into comics, because that's why we're here today. That's what we're here to talk about. Iron Man was and is an alcoholic and has been throughout the whole comic series. Now, yeah. Iron Man is a functional alcoholic because he can make Iron Man suits and still fight crime.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, all right. So here's the thing, right? And I know you. That was a good segue into comics, and I'm proud of you for that. That was good. But at the same time, I think whether or not addiction is, you know, something you're born with or something you choose to have, or if it's a disease or not, I don't get the contention here, man. I don't get why people are even arguing about it. I mean, I kind of see it more simply, where it's just kind of like, okay, well, let's say it's an addiction, right? Addiction has been proven to be able to be beaten. You can beat addiction. Everyone's proven that. That's just as tons of empirical data that just shows that addiction can be overcome through good practices, willpower, you name it. But either way, it can be beaten. So therefore, who cares if it was earned or not? That's like saying, well, he has cancer, but did he have it from a poor lifestyle or was it hereditary? Who gives a fuck? Just go beat the cancer. So
right.
I don't think it matters. It just matters that it's a thing. We all acknowledge it's a thing. I don't care if it's a disease. I don't care if it's a bad habit. It's a thing that we can identify. We could say that is an alcoholic, and you know what I mean. You know what I'm saying? So we can identify it.
But when you're talking about politics, that's where it crosses over, because you have, like, for instance.
Then don't talk about politics. Keep it simple. Keep it simple.
That's where you're going to get. That's what you're going for. That's where it goes to. Is you got people paying, you know, they file bankruptcy because they're fighting cancer. And then you got these drug heads going to take Narcan for free. And that's and then your tax dollars start paying for them to get Narcan. And that's where the lines cross.
Well, either way, both of them need to kick it, okay? So the guy with cancer needs to kick the cancer and get healthy again. The guy on drugs needs to stop fucking doing it because it's a waste of life. And we can all agree on that. So therefore, let's just say, hey, I think you agree on this, or, you know, that's how you feel about that. Either way, if everybody kind of worked together on the solution rather than kind of being bipartisan about the causality and more just kind of cohesive about, like, okay, well, how does it get fixed? Then just do that. Who cares who caused it? Just team up and just get rid of it. Drug addiction is a retarded thing. We don't need to have it. And, you know, seriously, it's the dumbest shit in the world. Like, listen, you can do drugs and not get addicted to shit because you recognize it's dangerous and you had that experience and now you're done with it. Go fucking be productive. Go make something of yourself. It's a much bigger high than that sounded like a soundbite. But, you get my point. It's one of those things, like, everybody's stuck on arguing why things happen. And it's like, look, you might be right. I don't give a shit. I might be right. I don't really care. There's no pride attached to my opinion. I just figure, okay, well, if we can figure out how to solve it, then in retrospect, we can argue about what caused it. So that's the way I'm looking at, like, addiction. And as far as Tony Stark being a functioning alcoholic, yeah, but I mean, alcohol has been proven to kill brain cells. So how much higher functioning would he be without it? And that's the Iron Man I like.
That's a good Iron Man, yes. The Iron Man that just hit rock bottom and gets thrown out of his house in the middle of winter.
Right. Or the little girl's house when Robert Downey got caught in her house, and that's what caused, like, the contract. Like, if he drinks or does drugs, Marvel will drop his ass. And
right.
And he looks like he stayed straight. He looks, like, healthy and with it. So good for him.
Good for him indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, your thoughts on the multiverse comic book world?
Well, I meant what I said earlier, where, like, I write horror, dude. I write some nasty shit. And I'm just kind of fucking worried that I gave birth to something awful. And you have to wonder if there's a universe out there where my characters really are doing the things I said they've done, because part of what they like this, I keep referencing quantum shit. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but
quantum,
I think part
yeah.
of it is whatever you can imagine exists. That's a metaphysical ideal. And there's some weird, funky math that kind of makes sense when they explain it. But at the same time, it's like, if there is an actuality that I have caused and unleashed characters like Barku from Lilith's Cradle, or like in Dear Hearts, there's an awful mutagen that turns everybody just really fucking awful. A lot of my stories, I just do a lot of bad shit in them. And I just really hope I didn't make that happen through the use of a multiverse continuum. Because that would, my bad.
Well, you know what? That would be great if it did. Because there's a whole series of comics out there where, you know, Captain America is actually, you know, working for the Nazis, and the Hulk actually fucking eats people.
Yeah. So. Well, if you go back and watch, you know, you mentioned DC. I bet you people listening are going to be mad at me if I don't mention it. So, you know, you just go back to the Justice League Flashpoint Paradox story. And that was about a multiverse. Barry Allen goes back to save his mother from dying because it's like he taps into the Speed Force and he can travel through time, and he uses this new ability to save his mother, and it just causes everything to be turned on its ear and go awful in the world. It leads to the end of the world, actually.
Right.
And that was a fun story like that. So if you're into that, I mean, you know, it doesn't get too deep into it, but there's like, you know, scientists out there with some fucking theories that like, it just makes you sit up at night going, whoa, I hope that's not true. So, you know,
exactly. It all depends on
what scares you the most, I guess.
Right. Mm-hmm. Shane, what do you think?
I'm kind of like floating on the clouds here on the multiverse universe stuff. I'm not really well versed in that.
All right, Michael.
I am also not well versed in that, about the
not,
comics.
Not versed in the multiverse. Okay. Okay.
I don't think well, I am either, if it makes you feel better.
Well, okay. I mean, it's out there. All right. Just one more fun question for you guys. Guys, do we need another Supergirl movie?
No.
There was a Supergirl movie?
No.
Do we need one?
You know, not.
No.
No. You know what I was thinking is, you know, not to change the subject on it, but did you know that Ruby Rose?
Yeah.
She's supposedly going to play Catwoman. And then,
yes.
Like, her, the fans on Twitter, like, she had to close her account because they were telling her that she was not a real lesbian. So she had to, okay. You know, no, I don't, and that goes back to, no, we don't need another Supergirl, new Catwoman, whatever, you know, no. Nope, don't need it.
Joe, what do you think? Do we need another Supergirl movie?
Oh, I don't know, man. I mean, like, everybody's got superhero fatigue now, and it's like, I mean, it'd be cool to see movies again. I know that's blasphemy in the industry I'm in, but at the same time, like, I liked it when comics were comics and there was other types of movies to watch. You know, like, I just watched, like, Ex Machina the other day, and I was like, this is a fucking great movie. It has nothing to do with comics. I love that. So I'm kind of like, maybe I'm just burnt out because it's I read a lot of comics, I watch a lot of comic films, they're great, and you can rewatch them a lot, and that's fun, but at the same time, there's just so much material within comics themselves. It's so much richer than the cinematic universes. So if you think like comics are kind of cool, just go fucking read them. It's way better.
I agree 100%. Michael Averbach, do we need another Supergirl movie?
No, we don't, Adam.
you think the original one was good enough?
Well, I intentionally
Helen
missed
Slater,
that one.
Yeah.
No, I intentionally missed that one. And the Superwoman movie came out about a year ago, or maybe 2 years ago. So there's Superwoman came out and this Supergirl. We don't need more of that.
you guys sound beaten down by Supergirl movies. It's like
if the Supergirl had a wardrobe malfunction, then that'd be great.
There you go.
No, it changed my vote. No,
with an asteroid. Yes.
She leaves her super suit in the dryer too long.
Yes.
That's not nice. Don't repeat that at school, you guys. Okay. So, Joe, I want you to tell everybody about the reboot of the comics that you're working on, and I want you to tell everybody about where they can find all your stuff.
Alrighty. Can I just say that this interview was completely different than what I thought it was going to be, possibly even echoings from another realm, but multiverse. But at the same time, I had fun. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, man. And you know, don't let priests touch kids and all that. So we got this down. But they can read my comics. I'm rebooting Lilith's Cradle. That is my horror action comic. That's like my prize baby. We actually added team members Trey McCoy and Jeff West for pencils. Mark Ducro is going to be going just to cover art and marketing material. So I got like an awesome art team on Lilith's Cradle. First page just got finished, and we're just going to fly through issue one. You can find that on Webtoons. You can find merch for Lilith's Cradle on my website, joevalenwriter.com. And you can get on the Patreon. I'm doing a bottle giveaway now at patreon.com/Lilith's Cradle. It's just a brutal story, guys. So if you like brutal shit, you like demons, you know, welcome. As far as my other shit, I'm redoing Dear Hearts. That's got a new illustrator on that. And that's like Silent Hill meets Powderpuff Girls. That's kind of like dark as shit, but cute. And then I'm also doing one called Fibber, which is about an alien who can't stop lying. And that's a bit lighter in tone. So those are my three that I have right now. You can find everything at joevalenwriter.com. On Instagram, I'm joevalen3. On Facebook, don't fucking bother me. And as far as everything else, Unkillable Joe, my first novel, that should be done as soon as the publishing company decides if they want to reject me or not. So,
and there you go.
Whatever that is. Yeah.
And there you go. And just by the way, Michael Aberbach, the bottle giveaway, that bottle's empty. There's no booze in it, okay? Just all right, don't get excited. It's an empty bottle.
I got you.
Love it.
Empty bottle giveaway.
Love it. Right. So make sure you check all that stuff out. Guys, and if you like the show and if you want to support the show, and I know you do, and if you have spare time in your day, please donate to the show. That's www.paypal.me/steelclasapodcast. It helps us keep the lights on. And this show is free for you, but it's not free for us. So just keep that in the back of your mind next time you throw a dollar into a guy's bucket out front of a liquor store. All right, guys, anything else as a wrap-up?
Nothing for me.
Well, it's a nice day out for football, for little kids football. And
nice
thanks for
little kids football.
Enjoyed,
well, you know what? That's what the Catholic priest would say.
Other, no.
Oh, Jesus. That's a
whole different. It's nice to be on with everybody and hear the opinions. It's neat. I never heard of Joe's comic books.
Awesome. But thanks.
I do.
Good meeting you guys.
Pleasure to speak to all three of you.
Michael Aberbach, what do you got going on with the Army? Are you done yet?
No. I have until March 2022, until the Army will either choose to keep me, allow me to stay in longer, or I choose to say, see you, bye, and I want to stay in more. And I don't know how we'll go. If the Army
just
will
smoke
say,
weed. Just smoke weed. Just smoke weed.
I have 21 years in the Army. That's my VA benefits, military pension, all gone.
Shane did. That's how he got out, right, Shane?
What's how did
Shane got out by smoking weed, right?
No, not at all. Never in my life. You know, when I told them that years ago, they were like, no, you've done something. I'm like, I have never, you know, you could take my hair, skin, blood, I don't know. It's not it.
They also wouldn't like you test positive for like everything.
No, they do a piss test. They say, Aberbach, why can't you piss? Because I pissed right before the stupid formation. And now your water is warm water. You don't even have ice in the water to make it cold.
I can just hear
so
your
it
small
takes me
intestine
an hour,
like flaking up.
Yeah, it takes me an hour drinking the water to piss. It's not my fault. You have other place to go. I didn't want to do a piss test. It's not my fault you're the administrator. Sucks to you. You gotta wait for me to piss.
You never had the pleasure of being holding that in for a little while, yeah.
No, you piss right before they say, okay, formation and a drill floor now. Except you pissed 1 minute before they made the announcement. And you had no idea the announcement was going to happen. You just say
you're
yourself,
not doing the strategy right, though. See, that's how you use it to kill the whole training day. You just sit there. What are they going to do? Reach up into your prostate and start pushing on it?
You have the urge to piss. You say, oh, I'm going to piss now. Then after you piss, 1 minute after you piss, oh, announcement. Drill floor now, everybody immediately. Be there. Okay, the following names move to the right. And your name is always called because you just pissed. It's Murphy's Law.
You know what, guys? What I do just as a gag, I always take a shit in a cup because they never specify what they want.
Well, I thought it was because a soldier is always supposed to have to be able to piss in case he runs up against, you know, like one of those old timey like detonators, like that kind of long fuse that goes for like 50 yards. You know, like shouldn't you always have to be able to put that out? Yeah, like you got to be able to piss right there. And I think that's a combat skill, so.
I like that.
Yeah, that's why they're doing it. Just go with it.
I love it. Okay, guys. Great show. Thanks everyone for being here.
Thank you, Adam.
We're gonna check out Joe Valen's stuff for 100%. Shane and Michael are gonna buy it.
Appreciate it.
You're gonna buy it. You're gonna donate. And until next time, right here on the Steel Plaza podcast.